invite you to hear these words this morning that come to us from the Gospel of Matthew. Immediately he, meaning Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, when I was growing up, I grew up in a little crossroads community called Climax outside of Greensboro, North Carolina. When I was growing up, we lived out in the country. And so there were a lot of woods behind my house and pastures and things like that. But I loved to go down and to play in the woods. And in the woods, there was a creek there. Now, my mom would always tell me, "Hey, do not, don't get wet. Don't get in the creek there." And I can remember on one occasion, though, it had rained. And so there was a good amount of water flowing through the creek. And so this would be fun. Let me see if I can jump across the creek to the other side, from one side to the other side. So I jumped across, and as I had done many times before, I'd done it, but this time I didn't quite make it, and so I kind of got the bottom of my jeans wet, and I got my shoes wet. Not a real big deal. So I went home to change. Now, back then, I had like 2 pairs of blue jeans, seriously. And my mom said, "Hey, what happened?" I told her. She said, "All right, go put on your other pair of jeans, but you better not get them wet." I said, "Okay, Mom, I'll stay out of the creek. I promise. I won't get in the creek," because she said, "If you get those wet, you're gonna get a whipping." And I had those before, and that was the way I was raised and grew up, and so I knew what she meant. Well, I put on my other pair of jeans. I go back down to the woods to play, and of course, the creek is right there, and I didn't make it the first time across the creek, and I really wanted to see if I could, and so here was, I had creek or the whooping. Well, guess what I chose? Yep, I chose the creek. And so, but this time I was determined I was going to make it. I was just a little short the previous time, so I knew I could make it. So I got my big, my big running head start, and I jumped, and I came up short again. And this time, I hit the bank, and I slipped. I didn't just step into the creek. I fell into the creek. And so not only were my jeans wet from, the ankles down, they were wet all the way up, and my rear end was wet. I was just soaking wet. Well, I got back home, and you can imagine what happened. Mom was true to her word, and I ended up doing a belt dance, if you know what that means. But when you're a child, you're willing to take risks, aren't you? You don't think through everything very well sometimes. You're willing to take risks. You're willing to try things out. You're willing to get wet. This morning we're continuing our series entitled God Calling, and this is in conjunction with our summer study series that we began last week as well. So if you were with us last week, I hope you stuck around and you joined us online as Dr. Will Willimon shared with us. It was a great time with him. Today we have former St. Stephen pastor Jody Seymour, who's going to be with us, and so we'd love for you to be a part of that following worship. About 10:45, you can join us online. There'll be a link I'll put on our church website. There's the address to the website there at the bottom of the screen. But we'd love for you to join us for the summer study series. Again, this week with Jody Seymour, we have Ken Garfield on the slate. We have Reverend Susan Sparks from New York City. Dr. Amy Jill Levine will wrap us up there at the 1st of August. So we got some great people lined up. Hope you'll be a part of that. Now, in worship here, we've been looking at how God calls people, how God called the ordinary folks just like you and I, but through them, did some pretty amazing things. Last week we looked at Abraham and Sarah. This week, I want us to look at Peter. All right? Peter and Jesus' call to him and what that means and how it again still speaks to us today. Now, we heard the account of Peter and Jesus walking on the water there in Matthew 14. Now, it's important to understand where things where we find them in the Gospels sometimes. So Matthew makes it a point to include this. It comes right after Jesus feeds the 5,000. Okay, so if you got your Bible, you can look in Matthew chapter 14, and you'll see that what was happening before, you know, Jesus walks on the water, and the disciples were out in the boat in the storm, and all those kind of things. Jesus is feeding the 5,000. You remember, it's the story of the two fish and the five loaves of bread. All right, and it's important to understand this is what's happened before what we just heard. Okay. So Jesus, you know, if you know the story, Jesus feeds the 5,000. He takes the two fish and the five loaves of bread, and he gives thanks to God, and he begins to break it, and all are fed, it says, all right? He blesses it, he passes out, and it says, all are fed, and all ate and were filled, all right? So in other words, they were satisfied, okay? They were content. Their hunger has been satisfied, so they are content. It's a comfortable place to be, okay? Understand that. You know, after you eat a big meal, what do you normally want to do? At least for a lot of folks. At least for me. I mean, I like to take a nap. Okay? Yeah, I like to take a nap. Now, some of you might take a nap this afternoon, or hopefully you don't take a nap during our time together this morning, but that happens too, I understand. But we get comfortable, right? After a big meal, we get comfortable, we're content, we're satisfied, and we want to take a nap. We want to relax. But right after Jesus feeds the 5,000, what happens? Well, in verse 22, it says, and we heard it a moment ago, immediately Jesus, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side. It says that Jesus goes and rests, all right? He was continuing to set, but he goes to rest. But what do we read in verse 24? The boat is battered by the wind and the waves, so much so that the disciples can't make any progress, for the wind was against them. So Jesus, he takes these disciples from a comfortable place, a place where they're, you know, they're relaxing, and they just had this meal, they were satisfied, they were content, they were comfortable, and he sends them out. He sends them out into a storm, basically. And so Jesus, you know, he takes them from a place of comfort, and he puts them into a place of discomfort. Right? Let me say this. The same thing happens in our lives as well, all right? Yeah, we find ourselves in places of comfort, and then we find ourselves in places of discomfort. All right? And I think Jesus does that because the older we get, the harder we work at staying dry, okay? All right? It's true. I mean, we like comfort. We like to, you know, we like to relax. We like to stay dry, in other words. You know, if you go to an amusement park, and it has water rides at it. If you look around, what demographic is mostly the ones walking around being all wet because they've been on those rides? It's mostly the teenagers. It's mostly the kids, right? You know, they'll be fully clothed and they'll go ride one of those water rides and they'll get soaking wet. But you know what? They're smiling, they're laughing, they don't care. Right? Me, I don't want to get wet. All right. So when I go to an amusement park, I avoid the rides that get you wet, all right? Because I don't want to get wet. Sometimes, even if I do relent, you know, to get on one of those rides, I work really hard at still staying dry, okay? Dry. I mean, I'll sacrifice one of my own kids, and they can get wet as long as they'll keep me dry, all right? That's just the way it is. Generally speaking, the older we get, you know, the harder we work at staying dry. And yet, to be a follower of Jesus, we have to be willing to take risks from time to time. Sometimes we have to be willing to get wet. Because here's what I want us to understand. God has a tendency to confront our complacency. All right? God has a tendency to confront our tendency to be complacent. We want to stay dry. We like comfortable. But God confronts that. Challenges us, invites us to get wet, to take a risk, to quit being complacent, to trust him rather than ourselves, to be God-reliant rather than self-reliant. All right? See, self-reliance is to be in control, isn't it? It is to, excuse me, to trust yourself, to rely solely on your own wisdom, your own strength, your whatever it is, your own capability of dealing with whatever it is. You are self-reliant, in other words. You know, when we're in control, then we don't have to rely on anything or anybody else but ourselves. Right? And yet, God invites us to trust him, to be God-reliant. If you were with us last week, what did God do? God calls Abraham. And Abraham, God calls Abraham to be God-reliant rather than self-reliant. Same in our lives as well, to give up the comfort sometimes, the secure and dry places in our lives, and to take a risk and to get out of the boat and to get wet. I mean, that's what Jesus invites Peter to do, isn't it? I mean, if we read further and look at verse 25, you know, the disciples, they're being thrown about in the midst of the storm, and they look out and they see someone walking to them on the water, and it says, but when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And so they cried out in fear. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then Peter speaks up. "Hey, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you." Peter is the only one willing to take a risk, to be God-reliant rather than self-reliant, and to get out of the boat. And so what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Come. Come to me." I mean, all throughout the Gospels, you see this. Jesus says, "Come." In Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired." Right? Some of us, we need to hear that this morning. Right? "Come to me, any who are, who are struggling with this parenting thing, who are struggling with having a hard time at work or at home in their marriage in a relationship. Come to me," Jesus says. "Anyone who, you know what, you're recently widowed. You're alone." Jesus says, "Come to me. Because I am the one that you need." Jesus says, "Come." Now, is Jesus in the boat? No. He's out in the water, right? He's not in a place of comfort. He's not in a place of satisfied or relaxation. I mean, Jesus is out in the water. He is not in the boat. He is getting wet. He is in the middle of the storm. Right? Places we don't want to be. We don't want to be in the middle of the storm. We don't want storms in our lives, do we? I mean, I think we're all of us, we hope to reach a point where we don't have any more storms. You know, that we are content, that we're satisfied, comfortable. And yet, where is Jesus? In the middle of the storm. We want to find those places where there are no storms, but the truth is we find ourselves in the middle of storms all the time, don't we? And we need to remember that's where Jesus is, right in the middle of the storms. When we're struggling at home, when we're struggling at work, when we're struggling with our children, when we're struggling with a bad habit, when we're struggling to do what we know is right, Jesus is right in the middle of that storm, backing in us, saying to us, calling to us to be God-reliant rather than self-reliant. In other words, he's inviting us to get wet. Right? So what does that mean, though? All right, what does that look like? Well, I think this term I'm using today, you know, getting wet, it means to act on one's convictions, though. All right? I mean, this is what I like about Peter. Peter doesn't just live out of his head, okay? I think he lived more out of his passion. He didn't always think. He didn't think before he spoke. He didn't think. I don't think he thought all much about it when Jesus called out to him when he's in the boat, okay? Because he lived out of his passion. He lived out of his conviction. And I think he understood to some degree that this relationship with God was an all or nothing kind of thing, all right? It wasn't something you did halfway. All right, it was all or nothing. And that meant that, hey, from time to time, you had to take a risk. You had to get wet. And so Peter does what? He gets out of the boat, doesn't he? He takes Jesus up on the call, all right, on the invitation. He obeys. Jesus says, "Come," and Peter goes. Peter obeys. Sometimes obedience doesn't always make sense, right? It's not always rational. You know, God called Abraham, hey, I want to make you a great nation. I want you to pack your bags. I want you to come with me. I want us to go. I want you to go. He doesn't tell Abraham where. He just says, hey, let's go. Abraham obeys, all right? Peter has no idea what's going to happen to him when he steps out of that boat, I don't think. He's probably hoping that he's not going to sink, but does he know that for sure? No. But Jesus calls to him and says, come, and Peter obeys. Obedience doesn't always make sense. It's not always rational. Obedience, to me, I think it's something we learn. You know, I think it's why we're born as babies and not as adults, because as we grow, we learn obedience. Now, some of us as parents are hoping that, we're wishing that our kids would learn a little more obedience than what they have, but it is, I believe it is something that we learn. Obedience is something that that we learn, right? I mean, children, if you've had kids, if you're, obviously you've been a kid at some point. When, you know, as a parent or a grandparent, you ask your children to do something, you tell them to do something, many times, I know in my case, my kids, they question that. Well, why, Dad? Why? And my response has most often been, well, because I said so. And that's good enough. I mean, it is. You know, or if I tell them, hey, you need to pick that up. You know, a lot of times the response is like, I didn't put that there. It's not mine. I was like, I don't care if it's yours or if you left it there or you put it there. I asked you to pick it up, to put it away. Basically, what? Simply to be obedient, all right? Just do what I ask. I think obedience is, it's just doing what is asked, right? And it's the same with God. Obedience is doing what God asks. It's acting on our convictions. It's not keeping our beliefs separate from the rest of our lives. It's, you know, whether we're at work, home, or play, it's living that out in our lives. So getting wet, okay, it's acting on our convictions. It is, has everything to do with obedience to God. It also, I think, is about not comparing our life and our accomplishments with others. That's a big deal these days. Social media feeds into that constantly, doesn't it? It makes it so easy to compare our life, our accomplishments, with those that are around us. And when we do that, what happens many times is we devalue ourselves. We devalue ourselves, right? Peter, let's go back to Peter. Peter wasn't focused on what the other disciples were doing. What does it say? It said the other disciples, they were afraid, all right? They think this person that's walking out on the water is a ghost, all right? They were not going to get out of that boat. They were not going to take a risk. They were not going to get wet, all right? Peter decides, hey, I'm not going to use these folks as a measure of my success, okay? All right, I'm not going to compare mine like to. I'm not going to measure my. They're not going to be my measure of success. See, that's the danger. When we compare our life to and accomplishments to those of others, you know, they become the measure of our success. And if theirs is better than ours, then what are we doing? We devalue ourselves. We begin to think that we're not as good. You know, I didn't get that promotion. I thought I should have gotten, but somebody else did. Man, I must not be doing well in my job. You know, my kids don't behave as well as, you know, my neighbor's kids or my friend's kids. And, you know, I must not be a good parent. All right, my spouse isn't as affectionate as he was or she was. I must not be a good husband or a good wife. You know, we devalue ourselves when we begin to compare ourselves to those around us. We begin to devalue ourselves when we begin to believe what other people say about us. You know, you're too short, you're not small enough, you're too big, you're not pretty enough, you're from the wrong side of the tracks, you're of the wrong color, race, sex, whatever it might be. We're not as good, in other words. And so we devalue ourselves when we compare our life and accomplishments to others. Right? Thank God Peter did not. I'll give you a personal example, too. So the month of July, the very beginning of July, is when United Methodist pastors are reappointed to their current church or are appointed to a new church. And so a few weeks, you know, just, July 1st, those appointments were made. And so I was reappointed to serve St. Stephen. Jesse Ennis, who you met at the beginning of worship, was appointed to St. Stephen for the very first time. So he moved from somewhere else. That's how our system works. Now, I will say that every year I like to look at the appointment list. I like to see who's going where and things like that. But I also have to be honest, and I have to say there have been years when I have looked and I have noticed that, hey, a colleague of mine, somebody that I began ministry with, that they moved, and they moved to like some really big church somewhere. And I wonder, well, gosh, why did they get to go there? And I haven't had that opportunity. And so, it's easy. I get into pastors too. We get into this comparing ourselves to others. Well, maybe I'm not as good a pastor. Now, that didn't happen this year, okay? So I just want my St. Stephen folks to know that I am happy and thrilled to have been reappointed to St. Stephen. But there have been times in the past where I've looked at that and wondered why them, why not me? And I have this tendency, maybe I'm not as good a pastor as he or she is. Right? But see, that's the wrong question. That question devalues you. It's about comparing your life and accomplishments with someone else's. All right, that's the wrong question. Because it's not about reaching for what God has given someone else. It's about maximizing and receiving what God has given you. All right, it's not about comparing yourself to others. It's being obedient. It's stepping out, taking a risk, getting wet in the name of the one who calls you. So again, acting on your convictions, not comparing yourself to the accomplishments of others. That's what getting wet, that's how I define it. And it's also about this. And that is about writing your obituary backwards. All right, did you hear that? Writing your obituary backwards. It means you write your obituary and then you live into it. I mean, what do you want people to remember about you? What do you want people to say about you? Do you want them to lie at your funeral or do you want them to be truthful? Okay? What is that? What do you want them to say about you? That you were simply a good person, that you never got out of the boat, that that you stayed dry. My hope is it's going to be something more than that. And so, you write your obituary and then you live it backwards. And so when I think about this in light of the story and Peter, I think about it in terms, I hope to be someone who was willing to get wet from time to time, who was willing to obey, who was willing to take a risk. Now, that's not an easy thing for me because that's contrary to my personality. All right, as I said, I like to stay dry. I like to stay dry literally, okay, and figuratively. I like safety. I like security. I'm not the biggest risk taker, okay? So I have to work at getting out of the boat, all right, and getting wet, taking that risk. I have to work hard at, if I'm going to dream God kind of dreams, okay? If I'm going to be obedient in that way, I have to work hard at that. But what I'm learning, what I'm continuing learning, and I'll never stop learning this, is that if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, then yeah, I got to be willing to take some risk, to get out of the boat, all right, to step out in faith, to get wet. And see, no one's going to force me to do that. No one's going to force you to do that. It is always a choice. I mean, no one forced Peter to get out of that boat, all right? Peter calls out to Jesus. Jesus calls back to Peter, says, yeah, come. And then Peter chooses to get out, all right? He chooses. It's a choice, folks. We can stay in the boat with the rest of the disciples, all right? Or we can choose to join Peter and to respond to that invitation to come. Jesus says, come. Take heart, it's I, don't be afraid, come. All right? The only way Peter was going to get out of that boat was for him to decide to choose. Choose to obey, choose to trust, to be God-reliant, to act on his convictions, to get wet. Right? So here's the thing. Do we want to walk on water? Now, of course, we're not going to do that literally. All right? But think about, are there things in your life that maybe you thought you could do, but you haven't ever acted on it, right? Maybe you're in the middle of some storms and you've been self-reliant in the middle of that, and now it's time to be God-reliant, right? This thing called faith and this journey of faith, this being a follower of Jesus, calls us to get out of the boat, to get wet, to take a risk, to forego sometimes safety and security. And that's different for all in all of our lives. All right, that looks different in all of our lives. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to think about, you know, where in your life do you need to step out of, okay? Maybe it's to act on a conviction at home or at work and with your family, okay? Maybe it's to respond to God's calling to you, that God's placed a calling on your heart in some way, to act in some way, to serve in some way, to respond in some way, all right? God's calling you. And in the midst of that, you know, think about, you know, writing your obituary and living it backwards, okay? All right, what are people going to say? What is it when you look back, when people look at your life, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, hey, you know that, you know what? That was a person of faith. They took some risk. They did this. They did that. They just weren't relaxing in retirement or staying comfortable or satisfied. They still took some risk. I want to share one last story. And I'm very proud of this, and that is my wife, Mindy. She has been a special education teacher for years. She took time off to raise our children, went back into the classroom when we moved here to Charlotte as a special education teacher for Union County here. She then became what they in Union County called an educational diagnostician, which she became one of the folks who goes into the schools to test kids who need some kind of services or may need some kind of service. And she loves that job. She loves that job. But she's always had a desire, and I would say a calling, to be a school psychologist. So she finally learned of a program that met all the necessary certifications that you need to be a school psychologist, an online program. And there haven't been those, like those previously, but she finally found one that had been certified. And so she applied and she got into the program. But then the question was, okay, can I do it, number one? Can we afford it, number two? Is it worth it, number three? All right, all these questions came up. And so we talked about it, and we prayed and looked at everything, and she decided that she would pursue this advanced degree. So this month she started going back to school. Literally, she's going to keep her job. This is an online, so she'll be working full time, but also going to school. Attending online classes, doing all this work. She'll have to go out. It's through Eastern Washington University. She'll have to go out there once a year. And I share that, all right. And she, I was going to share this, but I share that because here's someone. It's been very easy to stay comfortable, all right, to be content. Chose to step out of the boat, chose to take a risk, chose to, I believe, respond to God's calling. Now that's the way she's responding. That's something that has been placed on her heart, and the way it's different for all of us. But you know what? I truly believe God calls us. You know what? God is calling us to step out of that boat, just as Jesus called Peter. He's calling us to step out of that boat. Right? But what we have to also remember is what he also said. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Right? It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I, said Jesus. Yeah, it's sometimes scary to step out of that boat, to take the risk, to get wet. But you know what? We don't do it alone. I truly believe, Jesus is right there in the middle of the storm, whatever that storm may be, right there, calling to us, saying, I am with you. I am with you always. So my hope, my prayer is that, we'll get wet. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks. The thanks that you are not a complacent God. And you call to us to overcome our complacency, that you're calling to us to get out of our boat, to get wet, to rely on you rather than ourselves, especially when we're in the middle of a storm, the storms of life, Lord. So may we remember that, that's where you are. And Lord, I pray that the calling that you have for each and every one of us, whatever that may be, that we would respond, that we would choose to obey, that we would choose to rely upon you, that we would choose to get out of that boat in whatever way, shape, or form that looks like, Lord, that we would choose to get wet, to trust you and to get wet. And because you know, it's amazing when we do that, what you do in us and through us. So Lord, just as Peter did, may we too respond to that call upon our lives to come, to get out of the boat, to get wet. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.